I want to talk to you today about how to receive God's promise. How to receive God's promise. In Genesis 15:5, it says, "And God brought Abram forth abroad and said, Look now toward the heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it him for righteousness. And God brought Abram forth abroad." Have you ever had problem or trouble believing God's word? In other words, I'm not talking about mental assent. Now, every one of us in here would say every word in God's word is true. Now, wouldn't we? But we'll say that, that's mentally assenting to the fact that we believe in our heart that all of it's true, but our mental assent is, I do not know for sure that he'll do it for me. I've just got to be honest with you. I have the same trouble as you do. Now, it doesn't matter how strong you are in the Word of God, there are always going to be challenges in your life. And you're going to have to do the same thing that it takes to receive one promise, that it takes to receive another promise, that it takes to receive another promise, and another, until you are able, and you'll never get to that place completely until you get to heaven, but it's always a faith challenge. It is always the same principle works. If you just can't seem to believe, just be honest and tell me that you believe everything that the Bible says. Now, I know we believe everything the Bible says, but let me show you the difference. It's mental assent, because our actions do not prove to us or prove to the world or prove to Jesus that we really believe what he says. We mentally assent to it. We say that we're full gospel. We believe everything the Bible says is what we say, but do we really believe it, or do we have trouble? Does our mind stagger at the things that God has promised us? God told us, he said, you are more than a conqueror, but are we living the more than a conqueror life? Or are we mentally assenting to that God sent Jesus, Jesus went to the cross, and Jesus died for us, and he took our sins, and he washed them away in the sea of forgetfulness forever and ever. But yet still, we want to look back and we want to stagger at the promise of God. And when we stagger at the promise of God, we're looking at the circumstances and we're weighing them with what God has said. Everything that God has said is truth, and it is more real and more of a fact than anything the circumstances would present. Now, we'll all agree with that, won't we? Because we sure can't say that God doesn't have the power. We surely can't say that God doesn't want for us what's best for us and what's good for us and what is God's best for us. God wants us to have his best. And this scripture says that God brought Abram forth abroad. Now, bringing Abram forth means that he brought him out. Now, Abram was in his tent. And God calls Abram out of his tent. Now, I want to show you something. Sometimes we are in our spot in life, and it's inside our realm or sphere of circumstances. It's in your own sphere. And we do not want to come out when God calls us out sometimes. But see, Abram had a promise from God. And in this promise that he had, he'd already been told this one time. And we see here in verse 5, God called him out, or called him forth from abroad. And what that abroad means is, it's spelled K-O-O-T-S, which you say it like C-H-O-T-S. And it means, what that means is, God called him out, coots. Now, that makes sense, doesn't it? Called him forth, or called him, he said, Abram, go out of your tent. Now, Abram already had the promise. Remember that. Abram already had the promise of God. But he says, Abram, go out your tent. there are times when we need to come out of where we are so that we can concentrate on what God is wanting to, everybody say, show. Show you. See, God not only wants to give you His promise in His Word, but He wants to show you. He wants to demonstrate to you every single promise. He wants you to begin to see and envision and have that vision of a promise. This was a vision that God was given to Abram. And He said, come on out from there. I'm going to show you. I'm going to give you another vision. It wasn't that He came out and He saw all the starry sky and that's the vision. No, the vision goes beyond the stars. The vision goes down to deep into the heart where the man saw the stars and it represented something else that was in his heart. You see what I'm talking about? So Abram came out and he looked up. God showed him. He says, look up into the stars. And he looked up into the stars. I've been out in Thailand. I'm telling you, the most stars I've ever seen in my life was on the mountain out there in Thailand. And I'll tell you what, you go up there and you can't even hardly see. It's more stars than there is black. And I can imagine God taking Abram out of his tent. He said, now, come out of your place that you're comfortable. Come out into here where I can show you what I'm talking about. And so he comes out. Abroad means to put a wall between you, to separate yourself from where you were, to bring you out into where God wants you to be, so that you can see. See, we cannot see what God's trying to say to us watching TV. We cannot see what God is saying to us doing anything else in life, but there is a time whenever God wants to speak to us and He's wanting us to see something. He's wanting us to see the results of His promise. He wants you to see that, and He will give you a divine picture of your promise that God has promised you. And by the way, all of God's promises are what? Yes and amen. All of God's promises will come true. All of God's promises will work for you. God will do what He said He will do, and when He promises, He will do it, and He is doing it, and He has done it, and it's not because, one of the most problem with us is, we're still in the tent. We haven't come out yet. We haven't got out to the place to where God's wanting to show us. And then in our heart, it wasn't the stars that He saw. He saw beyond. Now, He did see the stars, just like I did out there in Thailand, up on the mountain, where they wasn't any 7-Eleven. They wasn't even a grocery store. You had to drive probably 15 miles to get to some kind of a grocery store, or maybe further. I mean, this was out in God's open sky. More stars than there were dark. And He says, Abram, separate yourself from there. Come out from your own surrounding. Come out from your own routine of doing things. Come out here and let me show you something, because I have promised you something. And this child that you're to have is not the child that, as Abram thought, in his own, it's just somebody born in his own house, which was Ishmael. But God said, no, he'll come right out of your loins. God said, this was not somebody coming or an angel coming. I'm telling you, God Himself told Abram, go out of your place of comfort, go out of your place, or your sphere of influence, go out of your place and come over here into my place and let me show you what I'm talking about. And Abram looked up, he saw the stars, and Jesus said to him, or God said to him, He says, now count the stars. Abram says, man, this is an impossibility. There's no way in the world I could count these stars. I mean, God, you know I can't count these stars. There's so many of them. He said, that is what your seed is going to look like in 2007. I'm paraphrasing just a little bit. I'm painting a picture, just like God did. God took him out there. And He didn't say, you're going to become the father of a nation. But what did He say? Father of nations. So much that if you try to count all of those stars, in one place He said, your seed's going to be like the sand of the sea. You just won't be able to count it. What about this? Abram thought about this. He said, here I am, 75 years old. Sarai is too old to have children. She never has been able to have children. How's she going to have a child now? Abram's thinking about all this stuff. Now see, when you read the Bible, I know, how do I know this? Because God made us in His image, and He made us like Abraham, and Abraham thought like we think. The only thing is, he got a hold of faith a whole lot quicker than we do sometimes. But we're getting it. We're getting there, aren't we? We're not without. We're just as powerful as Abram was, or Abraham. In fact, I'll tell you what, we've got a better deal than Abraham had. Woo! Glory! We got a better deal. We got a better covenant. And Abram looks up there and he sees the stars. Now, what did Abram see? I believe he saw kids. And I believe he saw them growing up. And I believe he began to meditate. Uh-oh. Whoop. Did I say the word? What did I say? Meditate. He began to meditate. In fact, I'll tell you the end of the story before I get there. The only way you're going to receive God's promises is through meditating on what God shows you. Meditating on what God shows you. But he took him out and he showed him the stars. And I believe Abram saw something. I believe Abram saw families. I believe he saw not only his country, but I believe he began to think, man, there's countries all around the world. And I'm going to be the father of nations. Now, I'm sure Abram did not understand all that God had shown him at that time. But one thing he did understand, the simplest of it, is when God showed him the stars, he believed God. He believed what God told him. He believed. Everybody say, I believe. I believe what God tells me. Well, do you really believe? Do you have a trouble? Is it just cause your mind to go tilt when you hear the promise of God? And are you always questioning and saying that, well, this is not of God. This, I don't know if this is God or not. I mean, all kinds of things. Yeah, but God won't do this for me, but He does it for others. I'm not living right. I've got problems in my life. No, God will do for you the same He will do for another. And He is no respecter of persons. He will do it for you. And He'll do it now to the glory of God. God would not be God if He told you a lie. He'll do it for you. In fact, let me give you another insight. He's already done it. He's already done it. So does your mind just absolutely go tilt when it comes to believing the promise of God? Not that it's mental assent. Not that we know that all the Bible is true. But yet, when it comes right down personally, we have to personally get involved with our faith in that promise, because God's the one that said it. And we have to believe like Abram did. And when Abram believed God, the Bible said it was accounted to him for righteousness. Before the law, 400 years before the law, it was accounted to him for righteousness. He did not even have the law of Moses, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You have the law of Moses, and that it has been modified in order to bring us into a New Testament covenant with God. So now you can see that Abram believed God when people didn't even know how to believe God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. I tell you what, I believe Abram and Abraham was a smart man. I believe he was a smart man. I mean, he had the wisdom of God to make the right decision. When he goes out and he looks up, God separated him from his surroundings, separated him from his job, separated him from his living, separated him from everything, said, come out here, let me show you. Just let me show you what I'm going to do in your life. And he'd already told him this. You can go back to verse 1 and read through there, and you can see where he's already told him one time, at least. And Abram believed God. He believed God. He believed in his heart, but he wouldn't say it with his mouth for 25 years. And you know, sometimes we're not getting our promise. One thing is we're not meditating on what God has shown us that's going to happen in our life. Did you know God has something special for you? He has a perfect plan for each one of us. And He wants to show that to you. If you can't see it, now see, there may be a reason that you're not seeing it. One reason could be that you're just not willing to take some time apart and let God show you what He's talking about for your life and mine. You see, when we read the promise of God, just for an example, God said in His Word, I am more than a conqueror. Jesus was the conqueror. And when I'm more than a conqueror, that means I don't necessarily have to do the conquering because my conqueror has already won the battle. Paul won the battle, and what has he done for me? He has promised me victory. And so to be more than a conqueror, I'm going to have to see my victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even my faith.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's my faith. Faith in what? Faith in the promise. Taking it one at a time. What is the promise that will meet your need today? The idea is come out of your place of busyness and find that long time with God so that you can look up into the stars and see the vision that God has for you. Then what do you have to do? Now, He can show it to you. There's many people that God's shown them what to do or told them or shown them, but they've never just got along with God. They never maybe have looked, and if they have gone out and they have looked like Abram is, it's taken them a long time to speak what God spoke to them. And that's one reason that we have not walked in the promise of God for our life, whatever that promise is, whether it's healing, whether it's prosperity, or whatever it is. Are you getting anything out of this? And God brought Abram forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord. In other words, Abraham believed in the Lord. And he counted it to him for righteousness. The Amplified says he brought him outside his tent into the starlight. And then he believed God. And God accounted it to him for righteousness. Why? Because he believed him. That's all the simplicity of the gospel. Now, you remember last week we talked about the rivers of the living water. We talked about the well, that whenever we dip into the well of salvation, receive Jesus as our Lord. In John 4:14, it says, whoever drink of this water, remember the lady at the well, and Jesus is walking from Judea to Galilee, and he stops by Samaria, and he says, whosoever drink of the water that I shall give him shall never do what? Never thirst. Isn't it amazing how that if we drink from the water that we never shall thirst again, and if you get thirsty, then we're not drinking. Because when the Holy Spirit comes to live in you in 7:38, I believe it is, that this springing forth, this bubbling over spring of everlasting life flows like a river. And that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In other words, salvation is the well we dip in. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is that the rivers of living water. And in the rivers of living water, now remember what I said. The Holy Spirit, when He comes to live in you, what does He do? He brings a spring with Him and plants that in you and sets it all up so that you'll bubble over with the knowledge of God. It's exciting to know things that God said. Bubbling over the knowledge, and the knowledge, in other words, the Holy Spirit brings the doctrine of the graces and the gifts of God. The Holy Spirit brings the doctrines of the gifts and the gifts, and this revelation, and the grace of God is bubbling up out of you. Now, when you've lost that, you've lost your joy of salvation. And you're living your life holding on, trying to struggle at the things of God. And we go through life like that, and we miss the whole spring, fountain of living water that is continually bubbling over in our own soul. And it becomes a river, and we live and we walk in that river. Amen? We walk in the river of living waters, and we will never, ever thirst again. How is it that we can never thirst again? That doesn't make sense to me. You've got to see the stars, and you've got to look beyond what you see in the natural and look in what you see about what God told you. See, you've got to look beyond the waters, look into the Holy Spirit that's living in you. That's the water of God, the Holy Spirit. He brings the graces. He brings the doctrines. And all of it's the knowledge of who Jesus is and who we are in Christ that's in you, which is the hope of glory. All of this is springing forth out of us. And what is springing forth out of us, this living water, is the Holy Spirit that brings the character of God to live in you. When you're born again, you begin to allow these springing forth a new character in you, the character of Christ. We're transforming all the time into the image of our Lord, of our God, of Jesus. And we're transforming. It is the fruit of the Spirit bubbling up inside of us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, gentleness. All of those of which are the fruit of the Spirit that build, carry their character traits of a Christian. So when we're born again, we start taking on a new character, and these character traits are supposed to just bubble up out of us like an ever-flowing fountain. So do we love people. So that we're not short-tempered. So that we have patience. So that we want good things for everybody. So that we love people, and when they do us wrong, we don't even pay any attention to it. Well, we got to get there, haven't we?
Amen.
I know I do. I don't know about you. I'm just being honest. I believe it's time for us to be honest with God and honest with ourselves and get what God has for us, because every time we partake of a promise that God has given us, it brings God glory. He said, there's my child. They're doing exactly what I'd be doing. And that's why we're left here on this earth, to do the works of Jesus. He said, I go into the Father, but He said, greater works than I do will you do. Why? It's because I go to my Father. I send the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of you, to save you, and then to give you gifts, and let that bubbling of the living waters of God continue to flow out of you until it becomes a river of living waters. And we operate in the gifts of the Spirit. We can be so sensitive to God, and we can just do whatever God tells us to do. Because why? We're bubbling over. And they bubble over, and out of that comes the promises of God. God wants to pull us out of our surroundings, bring us out into the stars, and show us His purpose for our life. And when He brings us out and He shows us the stars, then we don't see the stars. All we see is we can't count the stars, and that'll be what it means when I'm Father of Nations. God wants to show you. Oh, glory. God wants to show you. He wants to show you. How can I get this to you this morning? He wants to show you. God wants to show everybody say this after me. You got it. That's the only one I know to do it. Say, God wants to show me a vision of what I'm to do in life for Him. Did you mean that personally? I mean, is this not for you? Every individual, I can go around naming every single one of you. Is that not for you? It is, isn't it? Well, you can't look at the stars, get a hold of the promise, and then never speak forth that promise for 25 years. See, Abram and Sarah could have had a child in 9 months. But it took them 25 years. Was that God's plan? I personally don't believe it was. I personally believe when God made the promise, if He had took a hold of it right then, they'd have had the child, and that it would have been 25 years. In fact, it wasn't God's plan for Ishmael to be born. But it was, because man did it his way. Have it your way. That's not scriptural. God says, have it my way, and you will live, and you will never thirst again, because what lives in you, the water that I give, the Spirit that I give to you, the water that I give to you, is a washing water that washes, and it comes from what? The Word of God. See, I haven't mentioned that, but the most important thing is that we get a hold of the Word of God, put the Word of God, come out, get the Word of God, read and study the Word of God. And as you get the promise that's in the Word into your heart and begin to see the promise rather than the stars just represent the multitude of the vision that God has given to you as what He's going to do in your life. I honestly believe, I'm telling you with everything in me, I honestly believe that I'm supposed to be hundreds of times more prosperous than I am. I don't care how much money you got in the bank. I believe we ought to be taking this money and buying things for the kingdom and promoting the kingdom, supporting ministers of the gospel to get this gospel around the world. That's what God's money is for. It is God's money. It's not ours. God wants us to have a savings. He wants us to be frugal. He wants us to be, but He don't want us to be stingy. He wants us to be willing to give and to help. But He also wants us to have wisdom. You don't just go give and help to everybody. You'll be out before long and nobody will be able to help you. Or somebody will have to help you, rather. You want to use the wisdom of God. I honestly believe this, that I am to walk in divine help. Yeah. I'm not supposed to have aches and pains and arthritis and what are those other itises and heart trouble and bursitis and all of those other itises and all the things. We're not supposed to be walking in that. We're supposed to come out of that. That's what we had in the tent. That's what we had doing it our way. That's what we had whenever we were doing it the way we wanted to do it, and we weren't comfortable if we had to get out here and listen to God and watch the stars. I mean, I watch TV. I don't need to watch stars. They're not moving. They're not doing anything. I think the stars are a lot more powerful than the boob tube. I can get a lot more from looking at the stars. Now, see, I'm going to have to practice this some, too. I'm going to practice a little more than I've been practicing it. Amen. Because this message is for me, too. But I have trouble receiving sometimes the promise that God has promised. Number one is because I haven't come out. Number two is I have not paid attention to the fountain, the flowing of the living water of God that is springing forth up out of me into everlasting life. And I've been trying to stay in the tent. See, this is for me this morning. It might not be for you, but it's for me. I'm bubbling over right now because I can't figure out how in the world I can say this the way I'm getting it. I'm telling you what, God has just absolutely revealed some things to me in the past couple of weeks. But to get that fountain flowing, you're going to have to, first of all, get on God's side, live in the kingdom, where you don't have to think about what you're going to eat and drink and wear and all this stuff. Just think about God and seek His kingdom and let Him give you all of those other things and His righteousness. Just seek His righteousness. Let Him give you all of those other things that pertain to life and godliness. He said He's not holding anything back from us, but He's giving it all to us. But to do that, what are you going to have to do? Number one, first of all, you're going to have to get the Word of God, because without the Word, you don't have the promise. Without Jesus, you don't have the Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us and help us and all those other things that the Holy Spirit does in our life. And He's also the one that reveals the doctrines of Christ, the gifts of God, and the graces of God to us. And He lives right on the inside. No wonder we have a spring. No wonder you'll never thirst again, because you've got an ever, ever living spring flowing forth out of you into eternal life. There is never we might be in a drought right now, but there is never a drought with God when it comes to spiritual things for our life. The only drought that we get into is because we walk in places where we shouldn't be walking, and we thirst. When the enemy comes in, he wants to come in and he wants to fill your well with contaminants. He wants to bring nuclear devastation to your life. He wants to dissolve you. And you tell me that God's the one that put some sickness on you? Why would you lie on God like that? God don't have any sickness. You want to tell me that God's doing this to you to keep you humble and that you can't have any money? I tell you what, you ought to all just prosper. You ought to invest. You ought to prosper. You ought to believe God. You come out and see the stars and just listen to what God wants you to do to have prosperity in your life. I mean money on top of money. Amen. This church shouldn't lack for anything. Amen. Because why? We've got that living water bubbling always coming out of us. Now, we can get over into the river, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and get into the river and sure just float right back in one of those little coves where the water's not flowing, nothing's happening, and you can kind of dry up spiritually. And that's what's happened to a lot of people, even being filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? It's because they have not kept the source coming in. And what is the source? The Word of God. The Word of God is the water. The Holy Spirit is the water. Jesus is the water. Can I hear a good amen?
Amen.
So if you're not listening to the Word, now how can you meditate on the promise if you don't have the promise? How are you going to get the promise if you don't have the Word? How are you going to get a hold of the Word unless somebody preaches it to you? How is faith going to come to believe in the promise and it be accounted to you for righteousness, just like it was Abram, before you see it? And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So what do you do when your mind staggers, like I've been talking about, at the promise of God? What do? You meditate on the Scriptures. Just because God comes out and He shows you the stars, don't look up and say, that's nice, I see the stars. And never really go to the depths of what God is talking to you about personally in your life that those stars represent. See, that's just a representation. But what God's wanting to do in your life is a whole lot deeper than that. And He wants it for you, and for you, and for you, and for you. For everybody in here, He wants that. This kind of meditation can affect our life in a way that almost nothing else can. It can quite literally alter your mind, your thinking. Why? It's because we're renewing our mind to the Word of God. What is the source? The Word of God. Holy Spirit's there to bring that doctrine and agree with the Word, bring that doctrine, bring the gifts, bring the graces to you so that you will understand them. It'll literally change your mind. It'll renew your mind to the Word of God. It'll renew your mind to the Word of God, because when you read the Word of God and you don't meditate on it, you're just catching the surface of it. It's like looking at the stars. I just look at this Word. I read it. I'm seeing the stars. Maybe I'm doing it in my tent. But what about if I came out of the tent and begin to see what God sees, separating myself unto Him, and begin to see what God sees? It's deeper than just reading. The stars are like reading the Bible. It's like the Logos Word of God, the written Word of God. But when you come out and you look up into the stars and you see the promise that God has previously promised you because you've got into the Word, now you see nations. Now you see prosperity. Now you see health, and that you can really live in it. Now you see into and beyond what that representation really meant. And you don't have to see the stars anymore, because you got focused far beyond the stars. Now that is almost fathomless, isn't it? That you can't even think. But with God's help and our pulling ourselves out, listening to God, letting God show us what His purpose for our life is. One of the things that is the purpose for my life is Psalms 118, verse 17. And another one is Nahum 1:9, that affliction will not come back on me. But you know what? I've got to say it, because Abraham didn't say it for 25 years, and he went 25 years without the promise of God actually working in his life. And he could have had it the first 9 months. And he could have had Isaac 24 years earlier. But when he said it, when he did finally say it, 9 months later, here comes Isaac. So what do when your mind staggers?
Meditate.
Everybody say meditate.
Meditate.
That's very important. That's really the key to this whole message, is that we meditate. But what do we got to do to meditate? We got to come out. And we got to get before God. And in coming out, what are we going to do? We're going to get into the Word. The Word is like the stars. We're going to see what God has in His Word for us, what the promise is. And it's like the stars. We'll be able to look. And we can see, every time you look up the stars, I want you to see that the Word of God is going to work for you like it did for Abram. if you'll do what? Meditate in the Word of God, because you have to meditate on it. If you don't, you can't see beyond the stars, or you can't see beyond the logos, or you can't see beyond the written Word of God. So you're going to have to come out. Are we willing to do this? Or is it like I stagger at trying to believe God for the promises He's already given me? Are we really going to do that? Or are we going to quit staggering? Are we going to build our faith? It's all faith. I mean, if it wasn't for faith, we couldn't have any of God's promises, because nothing comes to us outside of faith. And it's really not about us anyway. To Abraham, it was about all these nations that would serve God, not him. Did you get that? It wasn't about Abraham. It was that God was going to use him. And Abram, I believe, was so excited about what God was wanting for himself that he decided to be a part of it. I don't know about you, but I preach myself happy. I'm practicing. That's what doctors do. You know, they practice until they get it right. I think lawyers do too. They practice. I think Christians do too. We practice. Are you going to practice? Are you going to take God's Word, come out, look into it, see the stars, and let God, through His presence, which is the overflowing presence of God in you, the washing of the water, the Word. God's always purifying us with the Word. See, the Word will wash the impurities out of our life, and it will flow forth in a bubbling, overflowing spring that springs into a river of living water. And as it flows, you cannot contaminate something that flows. Hallelujah. Amen. Then you can have the promise if you'll just meditate on that Word. See, meditating on the Word changes our perspective. It changes our perspective of what we see. Abram saw the stars, and then he began to meditate, and then he meditated, and then he got the picture. And he said, I like this. I'm going to get into it a little bit more. And Abraham meditated some more, and some more. He said, you know what? This is getting better and better. And he meditated some more, and some more. But we don't have time to meditate doing it our way. I believe that we all have the time that God has given us, and we need to use it for His glory. We need to tithe our time just like we tithe our money. Amen? And if you're not tithing your money, it's going to be very difficult for you to tithe your time, because your money is what controls things. And you'll find out that your tithe will control things, and not only that, but your confession will begin to steer and control things in life, in your sphere of life.